This is the Legacy United Methodist Podcast.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us online, on television, or you slid into the sanctuary this morning, we are so very glad you decided to join us for worship today. If you're joining us online, we are celebrating communion in just a little bit. Be sure you've got some bread and juice ready to go. Now, in upper elementary school, this is probably like fifth or sixth grade in the early 1990s, I remember bringing home a tree. We brought home these little tree saplings that I'm sure were from an Earth Day or an Arbor Day celebration. I don't remember which one at this point. But my father was too nice enough to make a spot in the yard for us to plant this little tree. So one day later in that summer, I'm mowing the lawn, trucking along, and I'm looking ahead to see where I'm going next, making sure the lines are nice and straight, and they're not missing anything in the yard. And suddenly I hear a thud. I'm like, what was that? And so I had entirely mowed down this little tree. I entirely missed the little tree in the yard. I was so focused on looking ahead to make sure I was mowing in the right spot, I nailed this little sapling, and it was toast. Now, you probably heard the phrase before, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see the forest for the trees. It means you're so focused on small details or small parts, you miss the big picture. You miss something important. You fail to understand the situation as a whole. Now, there's lots of times in our lives that that can be absolutely true. This Lent, we're going to flip this phrase, though. This Lent, we're going to explore our physical condition that we so often find ourselves in. We can't see the trees for the forest. We can't see the trees for the forest. We're so focused on the big picture, we miss all the little trees right in front of us. It was my mistake mowing the lawn in elementary school. So focused on the big picture, mowing the lawn line straight, I missed the little tree right in front of me. We miss the moments of laughter with our friends because we're too focused on what we have to do next. We miss those moments. We miss the moments of joy with our family, our people, because our brains, they're somewhere else on to the next thing. And we lament various stages of our children's lives saying, it's only a phase. It's only a phase. Looking ahead to when the next one will begin. Instead, so often our attitude should be, it's only a phase, so we better not miss it. So we better enjoy it while we're there. We better not miss out on what's happening right in front of us and enjoy the time that we're in. Now, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to following Jesus, and especially if we've been in church for a long time, we know the big picture. We know the big moves. We might even know the trees that are associated with these big moves. God creates humanity good in a garden of trees. Human sin, and then Jesus arrives to live, to die for us on a tree, and rises again to show us the way to new life. And at the end of it all, we will live forever in a new heaven and a new earth in a city full of what? Full of trees. Creation, salvation, restoration. That's the big picture. Those are the big moves of our faith. Now, in following Jesus, we can have a hard time seeing the trees for the forest. We can so focus on the big picture of God's actions all throughout history, we miss God moving around in our everyday lives, in our running errands, going to work, going to school. God works in and through and around us every single day. And if we're not tuned in, if we're not paying attention, we will miss it. We're going to miss Jesus moving in our lives. This Lent, friends, is a perfect opportunity to slow down, to sit, to listen, and to watch and see God moving, to see the trees in the forest of God's big story in the world. Now, on Sundays and Wednesdays, as we explore many of these stories in the Bible where God moves in and around trees, and there are lots of them, it's our hope that this is going to help you see Jesus moving in and around and through you. We need to adjust our vision. We need to adjust our perspective, our senses, so we can see him. Jesus constantly moves in the small things in our lives, in the ordinary things. God gave us these markers, trees, and real life everywhere to remind us just how much God loves us, cares for us, and provides for each one of us. So to help adjust our vision, let's turn to the trees in the scripture. Now, the first half of your Bible, actually two-thirds, is the Old Testament, and it's written primarily in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for tree is eitz. This is an incredibly flexible word, meaning it can mean tree or anything that comes from a tree. So tree, bush, log, pole, branch, whatever. If you read that in your Bible, you are reading ites. So let's say you're going to go to Menards. You're going to go to Menards to get lumber made from a tree to build a tree house for some kids in your life. In Hebrew, you'd be going to Menards to get tree from a tree for a tree. As confusing as the English language is, I'm appreciative we've got a few more words for stuff that comes from trees. Now, of all of the topics covered in Scripture, we miss the sheer amount of trees in our Bibles. If someone asked you what the top three living things are in your Bible, you'd probably guess the first two. Or at least, yeah, I missed the third one. The first one is God. The Bible is a book about God and God creating and restoring us in the world. That makes sense. The top thing most mentioned in our Scripture is God. Second is us humans. Again, that makes sense. It's God's story of bringing us into restoration with God. Makes sense. We're second. Now, what would be the third thing mentioned in your Bibles, the third top living thing? My guess would be animals. Noah's Ark comes up pretty quick in your Bibles, and all kinds of offerings, animal offerings, appear in the Old Testament as part of their ancient worship practice. Animals must be the third living thing most mentioned. It's not. I was wrong. It is trees. The top three living things in your Bible are God, human, and trees. Specific trees appear hundreds and hundreds of times in your Bibles, on top of all the things that come from trees, branches and roots, forests, you name it. If your Bible is 1,000 to 1,500 pages long, and you spread out all the times trees are mentioned, there'd be a tree on every other page of your Bible. Trees are everywhere. They play a key role, not just in the practical living of our lives, but in our faith. From the very first pages of our Bibles, trees are essential. Now check out just how important, how intentional God is with trees. This is from the very first chapter in your Bible in Genesis 1. You're also going to see here just the depths to be learned, that how deeply connected all of our scriptures are. Genesis 1 is a creation poem. So as a poem, there is structure, there is repetition, there is purpose. Day 1 connects to day 4, day 2 connects to day 5, and so on. Now watch the screen here and see God's intentionality and the tree's purpose in the world. So God uses the first 3 days of creation to set the stage for life. God uses the first 3 days to create the conditions so that life can emerge here. On day 1, God creates light. And then the parallel on day 4, surprise, now the skies are filled with light, with the sun and the moon and the stars. On day 2, God separates the waters, creates sky, creates the air. And then on day 5, the parallel, God fills the newly separated waters and air with fish and birds. On day 3, God creates land. And you can probably guess what happens on day 6. God fills the land with life. God fills the land with animals. Now later that same day, God creates trees. And what is the opposite to us trees, or what comes next? It is you and me. Trees are created, and then on the flip side, you and me, we humans, come up from the ground on day 6. Each time, God intentionally sets the stage for life to emerge, life to flourish and grows, and then it does. And we are matched up with trees. Trees set the stage for you and me, for all of us. As we saw on Ash Wednesday, this is not just a spiritual connection, but a biological one. Without us, trees would be fine. Without trees, you and I would die. And our scripture contained this spiritual reality long before science figured out so many reasons why we biologically need trees on our planet. When we slow down, we're not just going to see the forest of faith God has created, but we're going to see every tree that points us to the God who cares for you and loves you. When we slow down, we can see God's fingerprints, God's handiwork all over our lives and our world, even the intricate way that the scripture has been put together and given to us. And when we were planning Ash Wednesday last year, we were planning Ash Wednesday in the middle of a pandemic, and we couldn't figure out what to do with ashes. You know, at one point, it didn't seem wise in the pandemic to touch people's foreheads. And if we did, it would require gloving and ungloving for every single person, not to mention all the stuff we'd have to wear, face masks, face shield, you name it. So instead, if you recall last year, we gave everybody a plant. We gave everybody seeds. We gave everybody the opportunity to celebrate life in the middle of this global pandemic where it seemed like we talked about death every single day. We thought it was a creative solution given the times we lived in, but it also set the stage. It also prepared us for the study of trees this Lent. I'd love if we could take credit that we planned stuff ahead way that far, and this was totally intentional to match those up, but we're not that smart. That was all God. In God's intentionality and God's purpose, God set the stage last year, last Lent, for us to explore all the connections that we have between us and trees in the scripture and in our lives. Now, our scripture this morning comes from Psalm chapter 1. It is right in the middle of your Bible. And as a matter of fact, if you're holding a physical Bible, the odds are pretty good that if you split your Bible in half, you're going to end up in the book of Psalms. You can follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. The Psalms are a collection of songs. They are songs, they're poems, they're prayers that Israelites use to help them connect to God and to express exactly what they're feeling, from celebration to lament, from contentment to extreme discontent. Now, if you are ever unsure, if you don't know what you can pray or what words you can use talking with God, the book of Psalms shows us nothing, absolutely nothing is off limits. The Psalms are people bearing their whole souls, their whole selves to God, no matter what they're feeling in any given moment, and there are some angry and upset Psalms in your Bibles. You need no perfect words when you want to connect with God in prayer. There's no magical incantation you need to have God listen to you. Simply be you. Pray the words that are on your heart and just talk with God like you talk with your friend that listens to you the best. God is faithful to meet us in whatever we find ourselves feeling in any given circumstance. Let's pick up our scripture in Psalm 1. This is Psalm 1. We're going to start right in verse 1. You can probably guess what living thing we're going to come across in the opening chapter. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. In the center of our Bible, the book that has the most verses of any book opens up with a tree. Those who want to follow God meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Now, when this was written, this would have been the first five books of your Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Torah. So they would have seen this tree connection. They would have seen the intentionality between us and trees, the way God uses them as markers and signposts to point to God's work and to God's existence. Now, what we find here in this psalm, there are two paths to life: the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. The wicked are those who are ungodly, they scoff at God's law, and if this path is followed, they're going to lead people away. They're going to lead people astray from God's plan for everyone. But the righteous, those who follow the law of the Lord, they are like a fruitful tree. They prosper. They will steadfastly follow God in all that they do. No matter what life brings their way, they're going to keep following God no matter what. Now, as Christians, we understand there was only one person who walked perfectly, who's lived a righteous life, and that is Jesus. The way of the wicked and the way of the righteous are always far, far apart, except for one point in history. These two pathways converged on Jesus on the cross, because there Jesus took upon him all of the shame, guilt, judgment of all the wickedness of humanity. Yet he still remained the righteous one. And it's at the cross who we have traveled the way of wickedness, we cross over. It is there we cross over to righteousness. It is there we follow Jesus, and by his grace, we live our lives in and with him. It is through him we can live as fruitful trees, prospering and remaining steadfast in faith in him. We can sit, walk, and stand on the narrow way that leads to life, not the broad way, the way of the wicked that leads to destruction. That's Jesus' description, by the way, of righteousness and the wicked, this narrow and the broad way. That comes from a teaching of his in the book of Matthew. He encourages us, and the psalm encourages us to walk in the path of the righteous, to follow Jesus in all that we do. And what immediately follows Jesus' description after the broad and the narrow path in the book of Matthew? Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets and check their fruit, because a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit." Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Friends, there are trees all over our Bibles. This Lent, it is a great time to add a practice to draw closer to Jesus, or to subtract something that's pulling you away. It's one of the ways we follow the path of Jesus, this path of righteousness. Now, this classic practice has been to fast at some kind of various level from something this Lent to make yourself more aware of God's presence and the necessity for God in your life. In essence, fasting helps you to slow down and adapt your vision so you don't miss the trees for the forest. Scripture reading, meditation, prayer, service, journaling, all great practices that help you to slow down, to listen, and to see God moving. There are great ways for us to slow down all over Lent, including the devotions. If you didn't get handed this morning, we have some devotions written by our legacy writers. If you don't have them in hand, they're out in the gathering space. You know, we can get so caught up in life. We get spread so thin, we move so fast at this breakneck speed. And as we do, it's like we're moving through life, speeding down the highway at 90 miles an hour. And when you're moving that fast on a highway, if you pass a forest, all you're going to see is the forest. You can't make out the trees as you fly by. Now, as Christians, we know logically that God exists. We know logically that God moves in the world. But we cannot pick out specific instances of God moving in our lives as neatly as when we slow down, as we stop, as we listen, as we see the trees for the forest. In 2007, Vicky and I were ready to start a family. Well, as ready as anybody ever is to start a family. And it was not happening nearly as fast as we would have liked. You know, once you want something, as good Americans, we want it today and right now. Yesterday would have been better. Now, Vicky realized we hadn't surrendered this notion of having a family to God. So that night, in prayer, we took turns writing down one line of a prayer back and forth to each other in her journal. She noted the date when we finished that prayer. And friends, by the way, journaling, it is a fantastic spiritual practice, and it helps you see the trees, see God's movements in your life, because you can reflect and go back at a later date and see how God has moved. Sometimes time helps us to see where God's fingerprints were in moments in our lives. Now, as happens in so many areas of things that we do, life gets busy, and eventually, Vicky is pregnant with our daughter, Miranda. Now, you get busy planning, prepping the nursery, preparing the arrival, doing all that you can to keep everyone healthy as much as it is up to you. And before you know it, our daughter Miranda arrives on September 29th, 2008. Then you've got late night feedings, diaper changes, so many diaper changes, and catching sleep whenever you can. So a few months after Miranda's arrival, Vicky grabs her journal and starts to flip back to see what she'd written previously. She'd flip back to the day when we wrote that prayer, that alternating line-by-line prayer. The date of that prayer, the date of that entry, was September 29th, 2007, 1 year to the day of Miranda's arrival. Friends, God constantly moves in, around, and through us. There are trees, there are signposts of God absolutely everywhere, even in our journals, even in our prayers to Jesus. This Lent, slow down, listen, watch, and see the trees. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, help us to slow down, to adjust our vision so we can see you moving all around, in and through us. We want to follow the narrow road that leads to Jesus, that leads to life abundant for all of us. Open our eyes so we can see your love, your care, and provision for us each and every day. As we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, we confess that we've fallen short in some way this week. We've made mistakes. We have sinned against you and our neighbor. We have not shown love to you or to them. So in this moment of silent prayer, we confess our sins to you now. Jesus, we thank you for never giving up on us. May your Spirit empower us to show love fully to God and to everyone we meet this week. We lift up all the prayers spoken and unspoken today, praying together in the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.